The wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Oh, man. Yes, MILF Manor is on the cable network TLC, which at one point was called the Learning Channel. That is true, as our texters have asked. Somebody said that now it's TLC stands for This Looks Cringy. That's true. They've had the hits 90 Day Fiancé and Sister Wives on that network.
Oh, my goodness.
And yes.
My 800-pound life?
My 600. Okay.
Pimple Popper's on that, too.
Yeah, Dr. Pimple Popper.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
I guess.
Still have not watched one of those, E.
Strange Addictions.
I still can't get to the Pimple Popper. Can't do it.
Me either. Ugh. But turns out that this MILF Manor, I don't want to spoil it for you, Ty, but because the promotion leading up to last night's debut was MILF Manor. It's eight hot moms with a twist. And apparently the twist is that the eight men that are part of this show.
Kids, eight.
They're all
young
married.
No, they're all one of the mom's children.
What?
Yes. The eight men are all one of the ladies of their mom.
So you can end up hooking up with your mom? I mean, what do they, blindfold you, or what do they do?
Or you got seven others that aren't your mother.
I already texted my girlfriend about this, and she said, I don't think we can watch it. I saw the promo, and they're not hot.
Well,
so, okay.
And it's that's part of it for her, is just looking at attractive people.
That is so gross. Because if you're there and that's your mom, there are seven other girls, but you're not going to be hitting on these ladies while your mom's there.
I mean, if you're willing to go on the show, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Good point, Ty. If you're willing to go there, then you probably would go there. What a country.
Do you get to, like Jerry Springer, do you have to get hammered before you go on stage?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of drinks for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it used to be on that show, Temptation Island. Remember, they'd...
Oh.
Put them on this island, and these were smoking hot people, right? Men and women, all in bikinis, and yeah, then they just get trashed.
Oh, and Jerry's show, they were Jerry Springer. They were loaded when they came out on stage. They were like ready to fight people before they even started talking.
Well,
about
whoever that bad show, The Bachelor, is, and they do in the summertime, they do The Bachelor in Paradise, where they take all the craziest ones to the beach. Oh, man, that is bad television. Good television tonight, good television over the weekend, because we know sports is the ultimate reality TV. Had some really good stuff with the five playoff games already played. One more tonight. We know it's the Cowboys trying to find their first road playoff win in 30 seasons. 30 seasons. It's been a bit since the Longhorns have won Cowboys have won a playoff game on the road. Also, the Longhorn basketball team with a nice win over the weekend, 72-70. They beat Texas Tech. I'll say again, we do good, bad, and ugly. The good, Rodney Terry, 8-1 as the head coach, 4-1 in the Big 12, and that Moody Center is really becoming a game changer for the Longhorns. I mean, it was what was it billed as, and it's whatever they wanted to build a real home court advantage. And it, the TCU comeback, this come from behind win, in big moments, that building becomes a factor in the basketball.
Yeah, game. I'm trying to figure out, is that the deal that you have to get behind and then they bring you back? You don't have to get behind.
You don't
right?
have to get behind.
Okay.
Rodney Terry, you could tell, is frustrated with. I think the big key is he's frustrated with the lack of defensive intensity early in
yes.
basketball games. I mean. Rodney's saying you can, because remember when he came here with Chris Beard, Rodney was brought in to run the defense, right? I mean, he was kind of the defensive coordinator. They were going to let Bob Donawald run the offense, and Chris Beard's the head coach. Chris Ogden was going to be the chief of staff. I mean, everybody had their role, and Rodney's focus is defense. And you can tell he gets frustrated, Buck. I mean, the K-State game, they didn't play any defense the whole night. And then TCU and now this game, they're not coming into the game with the defensive intensity
no.
it takes to win.
Yeah, like I said, I saw Marcus Carr. I mean, in the first half, I didn't think he was fantastic offensively in the second half and just before halftime. But defensively, he was not very good. I mean, I just thought they were very lax again on defense. That team was long. They were shooting over the top of them.
Yeah, well, they are tall. I mean, they got two 6'11 guys. They had the mm-hmm. big guy healthy again. Texas Tech's one of the bigger
teams
you'll play.
Yeah, that big dude is a pain.
Yeah, that's one of the – they just got him back. That's one of the biggest teams in the country. And I think Mark Adams' team, if they can get some wins, they'll be a problem for some teams down the road. But that's a nice win. But you're right. I mean, you got to start again, the K-State game was 40 minutes of no defense. The TCU game, you played the first half without really defending like you need to, and you still were able to come back and win the game because you put up 50 in the second half and really shut them down. And in this game, I thought you started to pick up the defensive intensity at some point, and it was probably better, but it still wasn't where it needed to be. And then in the second half, you know, it's they're finding their way, and that's what you like. They're making the adjustments as the game goes. They're playing, as Rodney says, they're working the 40 minutes. They're working the whole game to find the right mix. And Sir Jabari Rice continues to be huge. Marcus Carr had 20 points. Timmy Allen had 17. There's lots to like, but there's still room to grow. I think that's what Rodney would tell you.
For sure.
They need to figure out what's going on with Tyrese Hunter. He's just in a slump, and he's not playing well. They need to get that reversed. But I also think one of the things we talked about very early with this basketball team, Buck, their overall depth, when you're going 8, 9, 10 deep on your bench, bringing
quality
in. Yeah,
there are not many teams doing that now.
When you're bringing Arterial Morris and Brock Cunningham, and these guys are at the back end of your rotation, those are good players. And, you know, by the time you get 40 minutes into a basketball game, you're fresher than the other team because you're continue to bring in quality, and that's something they can build on.
Yeah, those guys get a lot of minutes too.
Oh yeah, I mean they're ninth guys getting 13 minutes. So Rodney's doing a good job of Coach Terry doing a good job of using his bench and using that depth to his advantage. The big challenge now, Buck, is to because you're not going on. They're on the road for their next six.
Yes, can't get behind
for their next six games. They're away from home, and this home court has become an advantage. But you know when you're going to Ames on Tuesday night and Morgantown and Knoxville and Manhattan and Lawrence, you can't play 20 minutes of bad defense. You won't be able to come back in those environments. You just won't. But you've put yourself in a really good spot. You're sitting at 15-2. The Longhorns have a bunch of quad one wins already. This really quality victories that are going to look great on a resume come March time. But you just got to keep it up. You know, if they get this thing to 11-7 or 12-6 in Big 12 play, and right now they're 4-1, that's kind of where they're trending. You feel good with that. I mean, that's really what this Big 12 will be. You can get yourself to double digit wins, 11 or 12, six losses you can take. You're going to be a 1-2 seed kind of thing in the big dance. That's where the Longhorns are trending. But they've got to figure out 40 minutes of basketball.
Yeah, 40 minutes, and that has a start tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think you go to that place and get down by 8, 12 points. I mean, at halftime.
The optimistic thing is maybe Tyrese Hunter goes home and.
Yeah.
Because he transferred from Iowa State.
Houston and them rims.
Is that where he can find his mojo? I mean, maybe just something. He just needs something to. It just feels like a player playing without confidence right now. And a lot of times it only takes one good game. Maybe you thought even in the bad defense game against Kansas State he scored 29,
mm-hmm.
that maybe he was coming out of it, but really hasn't played a strong game since. They'd like to see that because they get him going with Jabari Rice, with Marcus Carr, with what Timmy Allen's doing on a night-by-night basis now. I think you really like where that Texas basketball team is there, but yeah, you got to get him going. Got to get him going.
And your Cowboys got to get going tonight. Your Dallas
They're mine
Cowboys,
now.
Yes.
I don't think Cowboy fans are going to like hearing that they're mine all of a sudden. Look, I'll be rooting for them tonight. I'll be rooting for them. How about that? Does that matter?
Oh, we're going big, Ty, right? We're going big.
I already went big.
There you go. Going big tonight.
No going back now.
Now, Ty has gone 5-0 on his picks this weekend. So you have a little change to spare. Are you you going big on the Cowboys this evening? Is it in?
Oh, yeah.
It's in. Big.
About a 10-unit play.
Whoa. Now, we're going big. I'm messing around.
You're that confident? Did you see him play Washington last week?
Have you seen the Buccaneers play?
Yeah.
Beyond week one?
I've seen Tom Brady in the playoffs a few times.
A few times?
A few times.
He's used to winning playoff games?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Not this.
Pretty good.
You seen against the Cowboys? Oh, yeah, he's 7-0, right?
All time, yeah. Pretty good, this guy, Tom Brady.
His streaks are about to come to an end. Now he's running off to Vegas after this anyway, leaving the kids with Giselle in Florida. Down to Miami while he heads off to Vegas. He's not done playing. Vegas-y, Tom Brady in Vegas, that dude, come on.
I mean.
Life is good.
You know, if the number is this, and we gave it to you last week, but if Tom Brady wins tonight, he by himself will have more playoff wins than the Cowboys' entire organization. That's true. Because tonight would be, if he were to win, then I'd be his 36th playoff win. This guy's appeared in 47 playoff games. He's won 35 of them. That's a pretty good thing. He's got 7 Super Bowl wins, 10 Super Bowl appearances. We know that. But, you know, if you just look at his playoff numbers, they're as good as some – they're, like, ridiculous what he's done in 47 playoff games. But, look, again, Cowboys have the better team. Cowboys absolutely have the better team. Player for player, pound for pound, you know, roster to roster. I think the Cowboys have the better football team. And, you know, that wasn't the case a couple years ago when the Bucs went and won the Super Bowl. But this year's version of the Buccaneers, they're just – They're a shell of that team, it appears, at 8-9. But Tom Brady did say they're as healthy as they've been all year. Health has been a factor for them. But that's what you have to beat. You have to beat the mystique.
Yes.
You got to beat the experience. And that's why I say watching the Giants yesterday, that's all you want if you're a Cowboys fan, is to look like the Giants did yesterday. Just crisp, sharp, well-coached. You know, the game plan made sense. There's a reason why you were doing what you were doing, because you were trying to attack the weakness of your opponent. Getting your best players involved. And look, think what Brian Daboll did yesterday for the Giants. Okay, we just played this team a few weeks ago. We know where they're weak. We're going to get them with crossing routes.
We got them.
And they're not going to put a spy on our quarterback. So we're going to use our quarterback's legs to our advantage to create opportunities and extend drives. Well, man, he had 17 carries. I mean, your quarterback had 17 carries in a football game, and it completely befuddled the Giants' Vikings defense. They didn't expect that. I mean, they knew Daniel Jones would take off and run, but 17 times?
They had a bunch of call runs early, too.
So then they've got to adjust, and they've got to scramble to figure that out. Well, then you got guys running wide open. And then Saquon Barkley gets him cranking up. He runs for 2 touchdowns. Both of them look pretty like no one touched him.
But he powered through on that second one. He just went right through.
I mean, I don't think the Giants are as talented as the Vikings, player for player. I mean, I think the Vikings have better skill players. I think the Vikings were at home. The Vikings have a lot about them that you like, but the Giants just outcoached them. The Giants out-schemed them, and they outperformed, and they out-executed them.
I want to like the defensive line of the Cowboys tonight more than anything.
That's right. So so if you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at it, it's okay, the Giants had the lesser roster, yet they went on the road and beat the Vikings and exposed them and took advantage of their weaknesses. You have the better roster, and the only guy that scares you is that 12.
Yes.
Well, go in there and beat them. Go in there and use your talent. Weaponize your best players. Make sure Tony Pollard has a huge impact on this game tonight. You know, don't stop worrying about grass fields and 1-5 on grass and 0-7. Just go in. You're the better team.
And throwing picks, Dak. Just throw your pick. Get it over with.
I mean,
hand it to the guy. Don't even throw it. Just go over and hand him the ball and then tackle him right there. Well, that'll count as a pick, won't it, or would that be a fumble loss?
I think
that counts as a fumble.
What fumble?
If Dak just goes over, hands him the ball, and
that'd
then tackles
fumble,
him,
probably.
That'd be a fumble.
Well,
that would not
hit the
be
ground.
A pick.
We can call it a pick. Call it a pick. Whatever you want. Well, look, I mean, he doesn't have to throw a pick. That's what I'm saying. Brock Purdy didn't throw a pick in his first ever playoff.
That's Brock Purdy, but we're talking about Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott has to throw a pick.
Well, Dak Prescott's not a rookie playing in his first playoff game. You would think if anybody's going to throw on a wet day, wet ball, of course Brock Purdy's going to make a mistake. He made none. That's the kind of game you want to see the Cowboys play. Guess what? The Seahawks play the 49ers every year twice. They knew Deebo Samuel's a problem. They couldn't stop
they
him.
They couldn't stop him.
They weaponized him. You cannot let them take CeeDee Lamb away from you.
That's exactly right.
I mean, what the Vikings do? Yesterday they allowed the New York Giants defensive staff to take Justin Jefferson out of the game in the second half. That can't happen in a playoff game. That cannot happen. CeeDee Lamb has to be impactful on this game.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook had to touch the ball a lot more than yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're the Vikings, you can't go in there and run the ball for 40 yards. You can't let Daniel Jones outrush you by double. I mean, that's coaching ineptitude right there. That's allowing. And this is where, if you're the Cowboys, you're like, okay, we got Mike McCarthy. This is what we're paying you for. This is why you were brought here, was to win January games. You've got a better roster. You've got a better team. 12 wins versus 8. You're on the road. Just beat them. Just beat them. Survive in advance.
That's what Jerry's thinking right now.
I mean, just go in there and put Tony Pollard to work, my friends. You know what I mean? Isn't he your best player right now? Am I right or wrong about this? Between he and Tony and CeeDee Lamb, these are your best offensive weapons.
Yes.
So weaponize them. Have them scheme this, Kellen Moore, to where they're having a huge impact on this game. However you have to. And let's not come in here tomorrow and say, oh, they took CeeDee Lamb away from
you. Oh, yeah, they had a guy over the top of him.
Okay, well then.
Cares.
I mean, yeah, they don't think they were doubling Debo. Of course they were. And, you know, I think Dalton Schultz is kind of a poor man's George Kittle. You know, just go. Nothing wrong with copying. Watch what the 49ers are doing and mimic that. Take Kyle Shanahan's playbook and say we can weaponize our guys just like that.
And go ahead and sack Tom Brady a couple times.
Yes. Well, that'll be, you know, pressure's huge. Pressure rate needs to pick back up. Micah Parsons needs to play.
Absolutely.
Good. I mean, you got to have DeMarcus Lawrence pressuring the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone knows this. Tom Brady hates pressure up the middle.
Yeah,
right?
Pressure
up
under in the middle. Feet. You're absolutely right.
Well, Dan Quinn knows that too, and that's where you got to put that pressure. You think Dan Quinn will feel good if they get up 28-3 in this game?
The Cowboys, yeah. Will they start having nightmares? No.
Yeah, remember that was the Atlanta game, 28-3.
No,
Dan Quinn's the head coach.
Just, if they
Tom
get up
Brady.
They get up 28-3, he'll feel just fine.
If they get up 28-3, would you feel like the Chargers did on Saturday?
No, I will not.
No,
there
that's
will be...
the Chargers. That always happens to them.
Yeah, the Chargers.
There
are,
won't be a
Chargers
comeback.
Chargers are very Houston Oilers-like in their
Cowboys will not be losing
clutchness.
The game that they're up 28-3 in.
Where do we rank that Chargers all-time choke? I mean, on the scoreboard, it's the third worst playoff collapse ever.
And you're playing a young team like that. I know you're not as young as Jacksonville, but you're playing.
Because we know the all-time is the Oilers.
It's really bad, but it would have been a lot worse if they were at home.
Yeah.
Even though they don't really even have a home field advantage.
But 27-0. Nothing. You got four picks. You're this quarterback.
The quarterback is giving you the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, just handing it to you.
Well, even when they were down 10, the Jaguars, I had a feeling. Like, I feel like the momentum completely shifted once they got within, like, striking distance.
Yeah, because you could see the Giants, and the Giants know as an organization. Giants, the Chargers, it's like Oiler fans. There's just a predicted, oh, here we go. We're going to fall apart. This is what we do. And really, for me, it started when they scored right before the half. It was 27-0. They get a touchdown on the board right before the half, and they had the ball coming out of half, and they went down and scored, and all of a sudden it was 27-14. You're like, hey, wait a second. This is within striking distance. The Charger offense sputtered. Trevor Lawrence stopped throwing picks. Zay Jones gets over the top, and they get another touchdown on the board. And that's what's really going to cost Brandon Staley his gig, is that when they really needed to move the football and get first downs and make plays and stem this tide, that's where the name Mike Williams is going to come in, right? Who's the
– Oh, yeah.
Because here's the thing with the Chargers. Mike Williams, if you watch them all year, he is their chunk play player, right? He's their guy that pushes the ball down the field tube.
And you take chances and throw it up to him,
yes,
too.
Yes, he demands coverage. He's a big 6'4 receiver. Between he and Austin Eckler. But without him, you know, you become a team that really plays in 10-yard chunks, and you really have to be almost perfect. And they needed those four interceptions to build the lead that they had, because the offense just isn't the same without Mike Williams. Well, why was Mike Williams not playing? Because the coach elected to play him in a meaningless Week 18 game, and he broke his back.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen more media people be so upset at that than this weekend when talking about Mike Williams. I mean, they were like, and it was coming from them, from players on the team. Like, what the hell are we doing?
Well, you go, that's why it was such a, well, it was an easy criticism.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's one of those things in a lot of media cases, they said it ahead of time. Hey, don't play anybody. Hey, do you know you have injury-prone players on your team that can't seem to stay healthy? But guess what? Right now, going into the final weekend of the regular season in a meaningless game, Mike Williams is healthy. Bose is healthy. Keenan Allen are healthy. Why would you play them? Why would you risk getting them hurt? And then, of course, he played them. Then Brandon Staley had the weak reaction to it afterwards, saying, well, you only have 48 players, and it's tough to play with a short roster. Meanwhile, over in New York, the Giants coach, Brian Daboll, sat his best eight players and went with a 40-man roster, and still, you know, they lost the game to the Eagles, but didn't get anybody hurt, and they went out and looked great yesterday. Chargers, of course, for Brandon Staley, the luck, you know, fractured back for Mike Williams. Looked like a back contusion, turned into be a fracture. He's going to be out. So, yeah, it may cost him his job. Like, literally, that's what your job is to make good decisions, to have your team primed and ready for the biggest games of the year. And you said it, Buck, the fact that the locker room was clamoring about it.
Yep.
The locker room was upset that Mike Williams got hurt in a meaningless game. They're asking the question, Coach, why? What are we doing? What are we doing? They start questioning the leader, that's a problem.
Well, and especially when they're guys that are known to get hurt.
Yeah, injury-prone guys. And that's been a problem for that Chargers organization for a while.
That's right.
And that's why the Week 18 game was so focused on, because they were actually really healthy. And they were playing some of their best football. And the idea is, well, let's not get anybody hurt in this Week 18 game. Let's be smart about it.
Where does Jacksonville go from here? They
Kansas City.
I mean, are they – do you worry about –
they're playing with house money. Jaguars have to feel like they have complete house money. They shouldn't even be in the playoffs, A, because they were – if you go back 6 weeks – They were way back of Tennessee.
Yeah, right? They've been playing in playoff games
right,
for a long time.
They had to win out to get there. They needed Tennessee to completely collapse. Both happened. And now here they are down 27-0 at home. That game's over. And they win. I don't know if they can beat Kansas City in Kansas City, but they have to be feeling like they got some house money going right now. That's a scary team to play right now. I know the Chiefs will be heavily favored. Gosh, I haven't seen an early line on that. It's got to be 8 or 9, right? Am I right about that?
I like that. That sounds good. Don't get it up to those double digits.
Have you seen an early line on the Chiefs game?
I have not. I can look, though.
I think that's got to be. Because they just played, I think it was like 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago, and Chiefs beat them pretty bad at Arrowhead.
Looking like 12.5, probably.
Yeah. But, man, I don't – but obviously, if Trevor Lawrence goes in there and starts throwing the ball to the other team.
8.5.
8.5? Wow. That's what I thought. 8-9 was kind of my mind. But, yeah, they got a little bit of house money. Meanwhile, everyone will be focused on the other game in the AFC because that's Bills and Bengals. And that was that great Monday night matchup that we obviously didn't ever get to see the end of.
And now that's to be played in Buffalo now, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And DeMar Hamlin is back and healthy. He gave a pregame pep talk to his team yesterday. That story obviously ends with a great ending. Well, now the game actually gets to get played because they didn't get to play it that Monday night, just a half of a quarter when DeMar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest. So that game is going to get a lot of hype. There's no doubt about it because it's the game. It's Bengals-Bills. It's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. I don't think the Chiefs game will get as much hype because it's Jacksonville, but that's an interesting Jacksonville team now. We also know over in the NFC, it's Eagles-Giants again. I'm sure the Eagles aren't real thrilled to be playing a division rival for the third time.
I know.
But they're happy to have a healthy Jalen Hurts. They'll be happy to have a week off. Niners will play the winner of tonight's game in Tampa Bay. We're coming back. We'll pick up these good, bad, and ugly conversations. It's Cowboys-Bucks tonight. Who you got? Bucky's got the Cowboys by 10. Ty's got a big 10-unit play.
There you go.
On the Cowboys. Are they overconfident, or are they on the right side? We debate next on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Crazy games over the weekend. Wild card weekend lived up to its moniker, wild. But the Bills outgained the Dolphins 423 yards to 231, yet it was a nail-biter. And if Mike McDaniel and Skylar Thompson could have gotten a playoff on 4th-and-1 nearing midfield late in the game, how did that happen, Buck? How do you end up with all that time? I've seen like the in real time, they had so much time to get a playoff. They ended up taking a delay of game call.
They wasted so much time. They did that throughout the game. They wasted so much time getting to the line of scrimmage and making sure there was the right play for Skyler. I mean, that just
– yeah, that – I mean, I know after the game Josh Allen said accurately, look, we just survive in advance. We're not going to dwell on it. But you outgain a team 2-1. Skylar Thompson, you know, 18 of 45.
That guy could have – and he could have beat them.
And he threw two picks. Yeah, I mean, but the Bills were just – I don't want to – nonchalant, is that the word? Or just mistake-prone, which looks nonchalant sometimes. It just felt like they
– I think they try to do too much. They do kind of overdo it.
Well, they gave them the Sarkisian treatment where they went up 17 and then took
right.
the pedal off the metal.
Well, like 17-0, and then it's 17-6, and then right before the half,
yeah,
Josh Allen –
that pick before half, that was ridiculous.
Well, Josh Allen throws the big – you know, pass down the field to Shakur that's going to be a 50-yarder and maybe set up more points before the half, maybe a touchdown. That could be at the 10-yard line. They go back and review it. Turns out he dropped it.
Yeah, they would go up 24 right there.
And then, yeah, they would have been up 24-6. Instead, they have to punt, and that's the punt return where Cedric Wilson brings it back, and they end up getting a field goal. Then Josh Allen throws the pick, and they end up getting a touchdown.
Yeah, so why can't they just go into halftime? Okay, you've got – let's go. Yeah. Let's not give them any more momentum.
That's right.
Let's run the ball, see if we can get our run game going again. But, no, you got to throw it and try to get – I thought that was being a little greedy. I know it's the NFL. Try to get some points before half. But at that time, it was almost like let's get to halftime. We're still okay.
Do you think the hype has kind of gotten to his head that he thinks Josh he can Allen? Make every throw, when it, even though the window's so small?
He tends to try to play hero ball, which means he holds it too long sometimes because he's always trying to make the big play down the field. And their offense is dynamic. Now, again, when it was 17-0, and if Shakur catches a ball that he's got to catch, it's 24-6, and they look great. But, yes, then the punt goes the other way, the interception. Now, Buck, to your point, once they got to 17-all, they still got 3 points before the half. They were still able to push it into field goal range with that aggressive style. And then they come out, and Dolphins get a strip sack, the touchdown. They take the lead, actually, 24-20. So, I think if you're a Bills fan and the Bills Mafia, you're thinking, okay, we survived a game against a divisional opponent, and we didn't play great. We got to play our A, but they got to play their A game, because I think the Bengals are feeling the same way.
Sure.
Bengals didn't play a great game last night. No. They were at home.
I mean, talk about time mismanagement.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh huddled with the clock running in under a minute.
Yeah.
And then they got a holding call, and at that point there was
back
only 8 seconds left.
Well, and obviously that game pivoted on the play at the goal line where Tyler Huntley puts it over and it's a touchdown. They go up 7 points in a tight game. Instead, it went the other way for seven, so it was a 14-point swing. And the Bengals were having a hard time. I mean, Joe Burrow threw for 200 yards and a touchdown, but that Ravens defense was playing great. Joe Mixon only ran for 39.
And they wake up with their young running back saying, what the hell are you guys doing? Give me the ball here at the goal line. Let's not take the quarterback and jump him over the pile.
try to do what Trevor Lawrence did on a Saturday night, was awesome. That was Michael Jordan style.
I guess I understand J.K. Dobbins being frustrated.
He's pretty young for a guy who's been hurt a lot, who's been in the hot tub, in the whirlpool.
And, there's some immaturity there. He doesn't need to be popping off. But at the same time, he only got 13 carries. He felt like, I've watched the Ravens this year at times and think, man, you have a backup quarterback in who's not 100%. Why aren't you running the ball more anyhow? Like, what's the deal here? J.K. Dobbins needed more than 13 last night, in my mind. At the goal line.
No, he's healthy. He's real good for them.
Yeah, at the goal line, I'm not going to criticize because I love that sneak play. Now, I'm not a fan of going up over the top like that. I mean, I think what happened is you put that into play. When you go up over the top and someone knocks the ball out, I'm a fan of the goal line sneak where you get pushed in from behind, and they really can't stop that play.
Or you go low.
Yeah, go low and let your lineman come in behind you and your running back and just shove you into the end zone. Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, they've made that. They do that all the time. 13 touchdowns rushing this year for Jalen Hurts. A lot of those have come on those little sneaks. So I'm a fan of that play. It didn't work out for the Ravens in that, and that's one that Huntley wishes he had back. But for the Bengals, they didn't play great. I mean, the Ravens defense held them to 230 total yards in this game. So, Buffalo has to try to copy some of that. Same time, Chiefs and Eagles are just sitting back watching all this, thinking, okay, we're getting rested. We'll be ready to go. And
the Eagles are going, we got to play the Giants again? Three times?
Well, look, and don't you know that I got to think Kansas City and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are watching that Chargers meltdown thinking, thank goodness. We'll deal with Jacksonville. This young quarterback, Doug Peterson, we didn't want to see the Chargers again.
No, we're glad they didn't figure it out yet.
We didn't want to see Justin Herbert again. They know us. We know them. We'd much rather get Jacksonville in this spot. As I said, be careful what you wish for because Jacksonville's playing with house money right now. And it's kind of like the Eagles. Now the Eagles have to deal with the Giants again. And that's the third time, and the Giants are playing good football.
Jacksonville's going to score some points against that Kansas City defense.
Yeah.
But how do you stop them?
And it's Mahomes right on the other side. And that's if you're the Eagles and you're starting to get ready for next week with the Giants. This is what you love about Brian Daboll. It's this team is getting better. I mean, they're so well coached, and they started out hot, then they hit a little bit of a lull, but they're playing and they're getting better as the year goes on. That's a sign of a well coached team and a good coaching staff. They're improving, but the Eagles hope that they have Jalen Hurts back healthy and they can unleash their full offense. There was a game, the first matchup of the Eagles and Giants. Remember that game?
That was destruction.
I mean, it was
they destroyed them in the middle.
Like Mike Tyson.
Yes.
In his prime, they destroyed the Giants. So they'll go into that feeling pretty confident that they can do what they need to do against that Giants team. And we're not playing the Vikings here because the Vikings just felt like a paper tiger all season long, and they proved to be that in the game yesterday. Cowboys, which version are we getting tonight? Are we getting the good early version, the Cowboys that were maybe the best team in the league midway point of the season? That went to Minnesota and hung a 40-3 spot on the Vikings. That's the best game the Cowboys have played all year, that Minnesota win.
They can start out by being a bunch of stumble bums, the first two series, but where they can't stumble around is their defense. They can't let Tampa Bay have any kind of running game going where Brady doesn't have to drop back and pass. If their run game gets going, if the Cowboys aren't stopping the run, that'd
be worrisome.
That is very worrisome.
That would be concerning.
Because I'm not even going back to them being not having any time off. Now they're off long enough. They need to get their run defense going again.
Hey, coming back, we will reset these top stories, get you ready for Light the Tower coming up with Craig and Jeff. Also, the rest of the day here
and
on the
Horn. One of the other things is I still think Vander Esch makes a difference in their run defense tonight.
We'll be watching that. Leighton Vander Esch, 55, back in there plugging the holes at middle linebacker to let Micah Parsons really just freelance and go wreak havoc is what they want from him. Also coming back, we'll let you know, for all those that argued with me that when I was really concerned that the Texans had lost the first overall pick in the draft and everybody said, no big deal, have you seen what's happening in Columbus with C.J. Stroud? We'll get you details on that coming up. Might be of big concern to Houston. Details coming here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
MLK Day today. A lot of folks going to be enjoying that, celebrating. We know, already started that walk from the MLK statue on UT campus down to the Capitol, then over east to Houston Tillotson, and they'll wrap it up with an annual festival with vendors and booths and speakers. That goes on this morning over in East Austin. So looking forward to that. Should be interesting. Also, Buck, we'll keep an eye on this. We know the Monday night game's coming. It'll be the story of tomorrow. I was just watching, what do they have? What's that ESPN show with Stephen A. Smith this morning? They're in Tampa. You got Stephen A. Smith all dressed up in his Buccaneers gear. Michael Irvin has got his cowboy hat on. And apparently Troy Aikman is going to be joining them on set today.
Oh, boy, look out.
Troy, of course, calling the game tonight for ESPN with Joe Buck. Cowboys, Buccaneers, this thing will be a ratings gangbuster. The other piece of news to watch today is today is the day to declare the deadline for draft-eligible underclassmen to submit their paperwork to the NFL declare for the 2023 NFL draft. At this moment, you know who is not declared for the NFL draft? C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
They're still gathering the money in Columbus.
There's a lot of talk that he'd like to win a Big Ten championship, beat Michigan, play for a Natty, win a Heisman, and maybe the allure of the ability to make NIL money. It's not going to pay him what the second pick of the draft would pay him, but maybe there's some attention. He's got until today to file it.
To win a championship, I would think, or try to be in it.
Houston fans told you when you lose that control, that number one pick, and people will say, well, not a big deal, it's a huge deal. Because there's already reports out of Indianapolis that the Colts are coming hard to try to trade with the Bears to get a hold of the number one pick. They're offering Michael Pittman Jr., future first-round picks, plus other players to try to get that pick from the Bears. The Bears would be silly not to think about it. And then, of course, the Colts would have the ability to draft Bryce Young.
And what if the Texans guy was Bryce Young the whole time? Now they got to go deal with Chicago?
They're going to trade to get it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. You can't win that game. I don't care what anybody says about playing to win. You lose control of that pick, and now you're not in control of taking the quarterback that you covet and that you want to build your franchise around. I mean, think of the irony in all this. If the fact that they went for two and beat the Colts in a game that they didn't need to win, they should have lost it. If the Colts now trade up to take the player you wanted, now you have to face Bryce Young twice a year in your own division because you couldn't handle your business and lose a game.
You went for two.
Oh, just so – that's so Texans. And now what if C.J. Stroud goes back to Ohio State, so now you can't have him at two, so now who are you taking? Will Levis? I mean, by the way, other notable underclassmen who have not declared yet, Quentin Johnson, receiver TCU.
Mm.
Kendre Miller, running back TCU.
Uh-oh.
So we're keeping an eye on that today. Today is the deadline to sign, January 16th. Got to file your paperwork if you're going to be in the draft. The rule also says if you do declare, you have 72 hours to pull your name back out.
Oh, okay. So you still have time after that.
No, but you can't declare after today. You can declare today and still have 3 days to change your mind. Can't go the other way. Hey, before we get out of here, let's remind you about the Flex that's going on, the Flex update before we get it to the top of the hour. Maybe.
It's on the freeze.
It's freezing.
All right,
Flex
ATS.
See if I can get a working.
Let's make sure I tell Coach Lucero over there at Westlake I'll be over there. I haven't seen those since that new baby was born, and that baby's like three. So Grandpa Buck needs an eighth grandkid. So
there's the flex brought to you by.
That's still freezing.
Oh, it's still freezing?
Yeah.
We're having computer issues.
Got the beats.
Exactly. Well, we got the beat, the flex beat brought to you by. Do we have our sponsorship or are we going to play that? There we go.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
All right, Brain Vault bringing you Flex ATX, the biggest games of the weekend, all the high school games. How about Round Rock, Buck? Westlake beat them over the weekend, which was big. But the biggest story I saw this weekend, and I know Craig will have more on this coming up out of the high school ranks. You know Dr. Susan Elza?
Yes. Yes, I do. I met her a few years ago.
Yeah, she's been the person in charge here, the athletic director of the University Interscholastic League, the UIL.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she apparently, according to Dave Campbell's Texas Football, is going to resign to become the new chief of staff for Matt Rhule and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. This is an interesting development now, to say the least. Matt Rhule, who we know when he first got the job at Baylor, hired three prominent high school coaches to be on his staff, right? One of them being Joey McGuire, who he hired to come in from the Metroplex.
That's a great direction, great move here.
And he remember, Matt Rhule brought in a coach from here from Central Texas, who was coaching up there in Round Rock. He brought in a prominent coach from San Antonio.
Metroplex also.
And then Joey McGuire from the Metroplex. Joey McGuire has obviously gone on to coach at Texas Tech, but it was a huge impact on Matt Rhule early that, you know, recruiting ties, building with the high school relations, understanding the best players in those areas, and really just helped jumpstart Matt Rhule, who was coming in from Temple. Well, now Matt Rhule's taken over Nebraska, and he's hired Dr. Susan Elza to be his chief of staff. Obviously became familiar with her while recruiting the state of Texas.
Don't think she knows all the coaches in the state of Texas.
I mean, I think that's a huge story in two ways. Obviously,
oh, yeah.
The UIL, those are big shoes to fill. She's done a tremendous job with Dr. Charles Bride up and the leadership there at UIL. Well, this is a completely different course correction for
yes.
her. I mean, she's going from that to running the Nebraska Cornhuskers to be the right-hand
person.
She's
like the front office.
Yeah. She's becoming the right-hand person to Matt Rhule. That's really interesting. I'll be eager to hear what Craig has to say about that coming up and Jeff Howe on Light the Tower. That's really, really interesting.
Running the front office.
That's one of those stories. I didn't double take, I triple taked it when I saw the headline. I was like, is that really? I think it's a great move for Matt Rhule.
Oh, it is.
And you know her. She's tremendous.
Yes. She's in all sports phases.
Well, and I don't know how much this helps him. Right? He wants to recruit Texas, right? If you're playing Nebraska.
That helps him right there.
Yeah. You want to, and no one's got a better relationship with the high school coaches.
That's right.
That's obviously a huge part. I mean, she's a very qualified person for the role, but at the same time, he's trying to build roots into Texas to recruit this area at Nebraska. That's a big move. Be interested to follow that at Nebraska land. Interested tonight, Buck?
I'm going to see you.
Yes, sir.
You're sticking Cowboys by 10.
Easy. Easy 10, too. Not don't worry about it. This is one you don't sweat, Ty. We just roll along and move on to Frisco.
Let's do it.
It's a Cowboys playoff game, and you're telling them not to sweat?
No, don't sweat it out, y'all. Enjoy your Bud Lights. Enjoy your night.
I mean, it's been nothing but heartache in Ty's whole life watching playoff games involving the Dallas
not
Cowboys.
Not tonight, everybody.
You and I can remember America's team and the early 90s. That was fun, but it hadn't been very fun in a long time.
The clubs.
Our man T.Y. is only 25 years old. I hope you're right. I hope we're talking about a Cowboys win tomorrow. Tom Brady, though, at home getting points.
He's ready for Vegas, baby.
Looking for his 36th all-time playoff win. We're looking forward to it. Have a wonderful Monday. Happy MLK Day out there. Buck, be good.
I'm going to be fantastic. You guys be safe.
All right. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com.